I wonder if any of you have seen that picture before. It's taken in March of 1973. The man who is kneeling is Gale Kearns. It was his first time on American soil after being held as a prisoner of war for 4 years. He had been severely injured and during his imprisonment did not receive treatment, and so he actually wasn't able to walk. But the two women beside him are nurses, and they helped him off the plane. And after he made his exit, he insisted on going to the ground and kissing the tarmac at Andrews Air Force Base. I'm guessing none of you have done that. Not relevant to me, I don't fly. Gotten off an airplane and kissed the ground. But that's probably because none of us have ever been a prisoner of war for 4 years. Deprived of our freedom. And what you see in that image is a man celebrating his release from bondage, kissing the ground in America again was an act of celebration that he was free. Jesus will talk about freedom in our Bible reading this coming week. I invite you to John chapter 8 this morning, which is the chapter we're going to be reading. I want you to notice what he says. John 8 and verse 31. John writes, "So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, 'If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?' Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed.'" Jesus offers his audience freedom, and yet, oddly enough, they are confused and insulted. Us, slaves, what do you mean by that? They're confused because Jesus is talking about a different kind of slavery than they imagine. The worst kind of slavery. To be enslaved to our sin. I think at least for one angle, that is sort of an odd concept. Because when we are tempted, sin doesn't feel like slavery, does it? It's enticing. And even in the early stages of committing sin, very often it doesn't feel like slavery. In fact, some would say it feels like freedom. I'm now unhindered by these ridiculous moral boundaries. I can live the good life and have fun. And at least for a season, it seems to be true. And yet we know it is just for a season. It's sort of like going on vacation in July and vacationing on the credit card. That's awesome, isn't it? Just getting whatever I want, as though there is this endless supply that Visa has provided. The problem with that theory is August. I'm sorry if I've just stirred a painful memory for you. But that is the problem. August comes and the bill comes. And sin is like that. It is a price tag. One that we typically underestimate. Do you think David ever imagined? All the grief and sorrow and suffering that would follow that one night of passion with Bathsheba. Interestingly, the wise man in Proverbs says about money that the borrower becomes the slave of the lender, right? And so it is true of sin that those who choose to sin become its slave. Paul would pick up on this theme in Romans chapter 6. And in verse 16, he said, "Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness?" I fear that sometimes for us the problem is there is a disconnect. The inability to see that very often the suffering and pain that we're enduring in life is a direct consequence of our choice to be a sinner. But remember that Jesus didn't start with slavery. He started with freedom. In John 8, in verse 32, his message was, "The truth will make you free." And in verse 36, "If the Son makes you free, then you are free indeed." And then in Romans 6, in verse 17, "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, became the slaves of righteousness." I wonder if we had a better sense of how sin destroys us, enslaves us, if there would not be greater joy as we ponder our deliverance. I want to leave that picture up because I think it resembles what we're about to do at the table. As one delivered from bondage and free again, Gail Kearns bows and kisses the ground in America, his way of celebrating his freedom. And so as we pass these trays and share this meager meal together, for us too, it is a celebration that Jesus would take people imprisoned in bondage, enslaved to their sin, and set us free. And so let us eat and let us celebrate our freedom in Christ Jesus. Amen.